Hello, everyone, and a big welcome to our newest episode of the Inspired Souls podcast with Helen Pinkett. I was just laughing because I haven't actually recorded a podcast for quite some time, and I'm thinking what I was going to say. So excuse me if I trip over my words. Today, I'm really, really excited to be talking to Jennifer McKenzie. Hi, Jen. How are you today?
Hello, Helen. How are you doing?
I am really good. I'm so pleased that we have got this date actually happening, because this has been in the making for probably about 2 years.
I think it has, hasn't it? Really that long, 2 years.
It's been ages, but you know, everything is always perfect, perfect timing. It always works out. And that's what I love about our kind of work. It's go with the flow. You know, things have come up, we've had to change dates, we've had to move it, and you know, we're both like, yeah, that's cool, it will work out.
Yeah, that's it. You can't really hang on to things changing too much, like being too affected by it. Because otherwise, you know, you're just going to cause yourself misery, really, aren't you? By just trying to control everything. So yeah, let go and go with the flow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love that. Well, I'm very excited for our conversation today. I know we've been connected on social media for so long, so I feel like I know you really well. And of course, you came along to the business circle and gave an amazing talk a few months ago, which was just brilliant. So I'm really excited to be talking and sharing your work and your journey here on the podcast today. So you are the conscious living coach, but I know you're like me and you do loads of different things underneath that. It's one umbrella, but you help people in many ways. So would you like to say hi to the audience and tell us exactly what you're doing?
Yes. Well, hello everybody. I am Jennifer McKenzie and I do call myself the Conscious Living Coach, and I own and run Lunar Spirit Wellbeing, which is a spiritual and holistic private practice in Bedfordshire. My main role is working as a spiritual therapist for anxious overthinkers. And within the umbrella of Lunar Spirit Wellbeing, I have two people that work for me doing their treatments in the studio. And I also run retreats. I run spiritual retreats, and I talk and I write and I podcast and all about mind, body, spirit, well-being. And I specialize in anxiety. So that's what I'm going to be mainly focusing on talking about today.
Yes. So we are going to be talking about anxiety. Anxiety and holistic methods to manage emotions. So this is going to be really interesting, because I've had my own journey with anxiety as well. So it's a good subject to talk about, because I think that the more people that know more about it, it just makes it less scary. Because when I was struggling with it, I had absolutely no idea what was going on, and I was terrified. It was after I'd had my son, and I didn't know, and I suffered in silence for nearly 2 years because I thought I was just cracking up, and it was terrifying. So would you like to share your journey with anxiety and how you've got to be doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I am an anxiety therapist, but it's quite ironic because I had severe anxiety. And really for me, anxiety started in school. I didn't really feel that I fitted into school very well. But, you know, my childhood was okay. I mean, no kind of massive things to report, but I did, I was a very highly sensitive person. So I feel and think so very deeply, which can be a blessing, you know, to feel love and joy and happiness like so deeply, but also a curse. But when you feel those not so comfortable emotions in your body, then that can, it doesn't feel very nice, you know, to feel them so deeply. And at school, I was bullied at school by people that were supposed to be my friends. This created a lot of distrust with people around me, and my reality was denied quite a lot by so the people around me. You know, I was told I was too much. So I formed this belief and this relationship with myself that, you know, the world wasn't safe and I wasn't safe to be myself, because that being myself and being outgoing and being confident and a little bit different got me picked on and bullied and told I was too this, too that, not enough of this, not enough of that. And I had no idea what anxiety was, you know, as a child, really, or a teenager. I didn't understand it. But I was a bold, brave person, you know. I was very independent, and still am. And I would take myself off and do things, no problem. I moved away when I was 15. I just left school. I left home just before my 16th birthday. And I packed my bags and I went to a different part of the UK and had a living job. And those sorts of things didn't make me anxious. You know, going places by myself or making bold decisions wasn't where my anxiety came up.
Yeah.
It came up in social situations. It came up in relationship situations. To the point where I would be absolutely terrified to make romantic connections. So at an early age, I discovered alcohol, and I discovered that alcohol really, really helped my social anxiety. And I can remember my first taste of alcohol, and it felt like I'd found a superpower. And I was like, whoa, this is what I want to feel like. And my inhibitions went, and I could suddenly relax my body. I'm not sitting there like really stressed and tense, like and frozen. So I was able to let loose a little bit, you know. And this is why many people drink alcohol. Many people use alcohol as a crutch in social situations. And, you know, one I did for many years. And it was like, well, I can't go out now without having a drink. And alcohol played a massive part in my life, to the point where later on I was actually dependent on alcohol.
Yeah.
Get to that in a minute. But this anxiety, it felt almost crippling, because I couldn't speak. I'd lost my words. Yeah. But then around people that I was comfortable with and I'd known for a while, and they were on my same wavelength, then I could be a completely different person, and I didn't really feel the need for anything outside of myself. In my 20s, I ran businesses, I ran two pubs. It wasn't as if like I was hiding at home, sort of thing, behind the curtains hiding at home with the curtains shut. It was the point where I would just feel so trapped in my own body and just frozen by those anxious feelings. And overthinking also comes into this, where I would be worrying about what people are thinking of me. Do they like me? What have I said? Am I going to upset anybody? Because, you know, this was the narrative that I had from school. And, you know, I had children and had my first two daughters, which was great. But then my long-term relationship broke down. And that's where I feel like my life took a really different turn. My mental health went really, really downhill. And I didn't know who I was. I thought I was going to grow old with this person, and like we'd be a family forever and all this stuff. And it was, although it was my decision to break off the engagement and the relationship, still really hurt. So, you know, we get into the realms here of doing what's right for you, because and putting in boundaries and self and having that self-respect,
yeah,
versus being in love with someone. And but I had to grieve that relationship, and I had to grieve that part of my life, and that took a long time. And I drank a lot, and I drank a lot, and I took a lot of drugs to try and mask the pain that I was feeling.
To numb everything down and push it down.
Yeah. And this created more of a vicious cycle. Like I was masking how I was feeling, trying to just get along with my life. But then in turn, that was making my mental health and those feelings of anxiety much, much worse. So I got trapped in this vicious cycle of not really facing up to anything, pretending I was okay, and that being the key, pretending. So outwardly, you know, I'd be going to work, I'd be looking after the kids, I'd be smiling, but inside my mind was going 10 to the dozen, my body felt stiff, I felt, you know, sweaty in situations.
It's a very physical thing, anxiety. Mm-hmm. I remember having tingles up and down my arms and things. I can completely relate to what you're, what you're saying here. It's more than just what's going on in the mind. It's a physical reaction.
Yeah, so people often think that it's something to do with your thinking, and it really isn't. It's a whole body, mind and body reaction. Yeah. So it starts with thoughts. Thoughts turn into emotions, emotions turn into feelings, and feelings create, you know, these all create chemical reactions in our in our mind and our body. So it's very much a bodily sensation and a bodily thing, which is why just treating the mind and just on a very surface level consciousness, it isn't enough to successfully. It might work in the interim for I'll give it a couple of weeks, but it's not a long-term sustainable way to manage or even overcome anxiety. I mean, and I use that quite lightly because there's no cure for anxiety. You can't cure a natural human survival instinct that's in our DNA and in our primal makeup, but what you can do is you can go and deal with the root cause, understand your mind and your body, release the past, understand what trauma is, and then it's a long old journey, but it is definitely doable. Now, there are some very effective ways that you can quickly relieve those horrible feelings. But you know, I didn't know all this at the time. I had no idea of all this stuff, although, you know, I was a holistic therapist in my spare time. So I had
any spare time.
So I was working full time. Believe it or not, I was an estate agent.
I never knew that about you. That's brilliant.
So I went from running two pubs, having time off to have babies, and then I worked selling new homes, and then I went in for 3 years, and then I went into residentials.
Oh wow, there you go, I'm learning you already.
So I was working, when I went into residentials, I was working 60 hours a week, getting home, popping open a bottle of wine, putting the kids to bed, popping open a bottle of wine, because I'd had dinner at the childminders. So, you know, and this was, it was literally survival mode. I was miserable, really. I had a load of money, I had a nice car and a nice house. I wasn't spending time with my children. They were, you know, 6 o'clock, 6 in the morning, we'd leave, go off to school or childminders. I'd work, they'd get picked up from school, they'd get fed, I'd pick them up, put them to bed, and drink wine. You know, what sort of a life is that? Really? And you know, the slowly started to fall apart. I was getting angry at work. Because I was drinking 3 bottles of wine a night.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't just have a glass.
Yeah.
Do things by half.
Taking it to the extreme, which of course will have a massive knock-on effect for the next day. With your mood and make anxiety worse. And certainly, if I've been drinking, it'll anxiety, as I call it.
Yeah. So I things started to really fall apart. And cut a long story short, I ruined my life with alcohol, but really it was just the only way that I knew how to cope.
Yeah.
I was taking drugs in the morning to wake me up. I was drinking alcohol in the evenings because, I was so stressed. My nervous system was absolutely shot to pieces. Yeah. Not a very technical term, but dysregulated.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but people in layman terms,
yeah,
pretty fooped.
Yeah.
And things got worse, and I was so reliant on things outside of myself. My mental health was going down the pan. I actually lost that job. I got asked to leave quietly.
Right.
I'm not going to tell the story.
I would love to hear that story one day.
Let's just say I was standing up against a chauvinist, absolute pig of a chauvinist man.
Right.
I stand by.
Yeah.
I stand by.
Well done.
Yes, but anyway, I got asked to leave quietly from this job, and I did.
Yeah,
and my time had ended there. and I was like, right, do you know what? I trained in 2003 as a holistic therapist and a Reiki practitioner, and I'd been doing things on the side. Previously, I didn't really have much spare time, but so I'm like, do you know what, that is something that I love holistics, and I love the chilledness of following the spiritual path. And I thought, do you know what, that's what I want to do that again. And so I set up a salon. I had a salon, and where I was actually a beauty therapist as well. So I was providing just all these jobs.
It's another thing on the list. I love it. I love hearing about this, though, because it's just like the journey to like where you are now. So I love it. Sorry.
I know, but it's got so many twists and turns and roadblocks and hospital stays and breakdowns, breakthroughs, and I think that's what we need to kind of remember in our life journey, that these are all normal.
Absolutely.
Possibly not psychiatric hospitals for all of us, but that was my normal.
Just some.
Let's talk about that more, because I don't feel ashamed of that anymore, because that, in theory, that saved my life.
Yeah, sounds like it was a big turning point for you at that point. So absolutely, there's nothing to be ashamed of at all, because many people do struggle and have, this is part of their journey. So the more that it's talked about, the less the stigma around it.
Yeah, exactly. And let's let go of the shame around being called mental or unstable. No, how about you're carrying too much past unresolved trauma? Your burden is so heavy. Let's help each other to lighten that load and hold space for each other, rather than, oh God, she's mental.
Definitely. Yeah, more support, and the more we talk about it, the more we learn methods and ways of dealing, working with people like yourself, then it's, the more it's out there and more kind of accept, like you say, letting go of the shame of it. So it's good to talk about that, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so as you can probably gather now, because Helen sort of heard my story, but for those of you that haven't, things just kept spiraling. They kept spiraling, and I ended up being sectioned after trying to take my own life, because it got too much. Everything was too much. I was on my own with the children. I thought I wasn't a good mother. I was told that by previous partners. All I can describe it is that I was ground down.
Yeah.
And I'd had enough. And I honestly thought that the world was better off without me. I couldn't kick the habits. I had periods of clean time and I kept going back to it. Whenever things got a little bit uncomfortable, or quite honestly, when I was about on the verge of more success, I would self-sabotage.
The self-sabotage one.
Because I wasn't, I was used to living in chaos in my own head and in my own life. And I do talk about this quite a bit in the emotional addiction to chaos. Because it's unfamiliar for us, you see, and this is why a lot of people stay stuck. And I think this is why I stayed stuck or repeating the same patterns for so long, because I am unfamiliar and the unknown is scary. And it takes a lot of courage to step out into that unknown. And into this new you and the new ways of coping.
Yeah,
because we're creatures of habits. It's human nature. Our brains are designed to tell us to automatically repeat the same patterns. Yeah. You know, it's backed up by neuroscience. So when we're learning to walk, we have to really think about our feet. We have to think about our legs. We have to think about how they move. And this is why we're so wobbly when we start walking.
Yeah.
And, then we manage to take our first steps. And then it's like, oh, can do this. And then we take a few steps and then we fall on our bottoms and then we get up and we wobble. Yeah. And we take a few more steps and then we can walk. And then we begin to run. And then we can do all sorts. We can run and jump and it becomes an automatic behavior.
Yeah.
And it's the same with masking emotions. So so every time I would feel a difficult emotion, whether that, and even joy, even happiness, excitement, fear, jealousy, anger, it would be like, right, I feel uncomfortable in my body. I'm going to now, that's my body's telling me to have an alcoholic drink. As soon as you do that and you relieve yourself of those feelings temporarily, might add, you think your body goes, oh, that's worked, and it creates a neural pathway. Yeah. So then next time you start to feel anxious, your brain goes, oh, you need that. And this is why we get into this painful cycle and unhealthy cycle, is because of we've trained our brains to do that.
Yeah.
But the good news is we can train our brains to do more things, healthier things, and we can change those habits. And I had to really, really surrender. Mm. Like in that hospital, I had to surrender. And I was fed up. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and stressed and and like I
had it.
And who wants to feel like that every day?
Exactly.
But we don't have to.
Yeah,
we really don't have to.
Yeah.
And I come out of hospital and I was like, right, I'm gonna pick up my treatments. And I started in my lounge with an old massage bed that I had from the old salon, because that went wrong because of drink and drugs,
everything goes went down. So it's almost like that hitting the rock bottom, that breakdown, the breakthrough. So you had to like really get right down there in order to have that moment, and then back up again.
I broke open, Helena. I broke open in that hospital, and I was one of these people that was always stiff upper lip, must carry on, must be strong, must not show weakness, or vulnerability. God forbid vulnerability. God.
No.
No, thank you. I will hold all my guilt and shame, all my guilt and shame inside of me until it ruins me.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to own that and never let it go.
Yeah. So, and I broke open and I sobbed. I dropped on my knees and I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed. But I never sobbed.
Yeah.
And I looked in the mirror and I said, I don't want to live like this. So I made a promise to myself that I'd never give up. And I haven't, you know. That was 2015. November 2015, 25th of November 2015.
Wow.
D-Day. Rebirth day. Yeah. And it's not been easy. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that, oh, suddenly I just went, oh yeah,
just got to get hospital.
Nope. It's been an uncomfortable journey of releasing, realizing my own toxic traits, shadow work, understanding the mind and the body, you know, and I started helping people. And I found that people were coming to me who were quite similar to me.
Yeah.
They were either in lots of pain, aka inflammation of the body, stiff and carrying around lots of emotional stagnant energy in the body. They were either drinking too much, or they had previously been addicts and stuff like that. So I was attracting me in other people. And I remember some of my clients were opening up to me. And I started opening up a little bit to them. And it became this beautiful exchange of me too.
Mm.
Like, I see you, I hear you, I feel you. Like, and I was like, So I started to share a bit more.
Yeah.
And I started to feel a lot freer.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I really wanted to take it further. So I studied as a life coach. I studied anxiety.
Yeah.
I studied the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been fascinated with the mind and the body, like since I was a kid. So a lot of my stuff has been self-taught through books, through podcasts, through learning, through studying, and also my professional qualifications then that I've undertook for life coaching, anxiety therapy, trauma, addiction counselling, and then all this stuff as well. Like, you know, Reiki master teacher, spiritual therapies and past life stuff, sound healing, and like
the works going on.
breath work's been a huge part, a huge thing that I integrate into my sessions. So but the thing is, like, it's all those are my qualifications, like, but what I do is I can take bits out of those and bring them into whatever people need, and that really was learning those things. You know, I'm sure you know yourself, when you do a course, you learn so much about yourself as well. Because you're going through that work, and then you're like, oh, what's this that needs healing? Hello, shame. Hello, inner child. Hello, trauma.
Yes. Oh, the layers of it all that just keep coming. Incredible. So today you are a coach and you're helping so many people. You've got an amazing presence on social media. Let me just ask you a little bit about, I want to talk about inner peace a little bit. How do you feel now? What does inner peace mean to you, and how does that feel, and what difference is that from how you felt back before 2015?
So how I used to feel was at war with myself, you know, and at war with everyone, it felt like. I didn't really like myself. I was very critical of my body. I found relationships extremely difficult, still do.
Work in progress.
Oh yes, that is a work in progress. But
yeah,
I kind of just put that to a side. I've been single for like 3 years. I'm not bothered. But what I've been focusing on is the relationship with myself.
Number one relationship, and I did
feel at war. I would try and close my eyes at night and my brain would be like remembering something that I did 10 years ago. You're such an awful person. And the guilt and the shame around my decisions, and you know, and especially alcohol and addiction. I mean, I could tell you, you know, we'd go into a whole load of stuff about that, but we'll save that for another day.
We'll do another podcast on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many layers, aren't there? But you know, and I slowly but surely rebuilt the relationship myself. I stopped caring what other people thought of me.
Yeah.
Think of me is a massive one. And I highly suggest that you do that. Let go of the opinions and the judgments of other people, because they really don't matter.
Yeah.
It's how you view yourself that really matters.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I made peace with my past. I forgave myself for some of my decisions, and what I'd put my children through, what I'd kind of put my family through. I forgave myself, not knowing any different. Forgiveness, I think, it is huge when you want to have inner peace. So firstly, forgive yourself and then start to forgive other people. It doesn't mean that we're forgiving that what they did or condoning actions. It just means that we're creating peace within ourselves by letting that go, you know, and cutting ties with toxic people, changing my behaviors, so giving up alcohol, letting go of people that wouldn't support that growth. I you know, looked at my diet, exercise, all these things are really important. And I actually sent someone a voice note this morning and said, I think society, we need to go back to basics right now, because we have a world full of people carrying around so much trauma and dysregulated nervous systems, addicted to social media and addicted to substances and anything that they can do to not look at themselves. And by going back to basics, I mean looking at what you're consuming, looking at what you're consuming online, looking at who you're hanging around with, looking at what you're putting into your body, looking at how you're spending your time and your energy, and how are you moving. Movement, get out in nature, like these
something so simple that can make such a big difference.
Basic things that we forget about, because you know we want the flashy things, and you know we want to like brag, and we want to, you know, excuse me, on my soapbox now,
but right, like, go for it. I love it.
I think we honestly, the world would be a better place if we stripped back some of this materialistic stuff and really got back to genuine connecting with each other.
And slowing down, because we have this addiction to being busy as well. It's almost, you know, keeping busy stops us having to feel the feels as well. So we're busy doing this, wearing it like a badge of honor, and that's just as you know, dangerous as anything else, you know. So it's slowing down, stripping back, and just implementing some of the smallest, easiest things, like you say, like a daily walk outside in the fresh air. What difference that makes. Exercise, eating better, staying off social media, all these tweaks that can make a big difference to your mental and physical health.
I mean, like, you know, it isn't about denying yourself stuff either.
No,
life's too short not to eat care. Right,
really, you've got to do what, you've got to have enjoyment.
And so I think I lost like what lit me up. And I had to rediscover who I was, what I actually liked, because I've been controlled a lot, you know, and I'd been controlled by other people's opinions and oh, I better not do that, what would people think? Yeah, I kind of threw all that out the window.
Yeah.
If you ever see me online, that you'll know that I don't give a like F anymore about what other people think of me.
You show up completely authentically, like totally yourself, and I love that. Just, you know, just you showing bits of your life and talking about your work, and it's amazing. And I think there's so much power in that, because what other people think about us is none of our business.
And do you know what was a huge compliment? So lady followed me online for a little while, and we'd had little conversations, and she came to one of my full moon fire ceremonies. Yeah. And she wrote on her page the next day, Jen is exactly who she is in person, she is online. And I'm like, actually, do you know what, that's a really amazing compliment,
because
that's really important to me.
Yeah,
like I don't pretend to be something I'm not. I'm a human being. Yes, I'm a therapist, and I have a business and a family, but I'm also a human being.
Yeah.
Like, and I still get anxious. I still feel the fear. You know, I sometimes maybe not think before I speak, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody. But I'm a human being. I get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, my heart gets hurt. I find relationships struggling. I don't understand them. I find them difficult, you know, and that's a work in progress. Yeah. I might start dating soon, you know, and that's going to bring up all those fears.
All the other things, yeah.
And I think it's about, you know, speaking about these things and not being afraid to be vulnerable about them.
Yeah, which is such a turnaround, because when you were telling your story earlier, you're like, no vulnerability, no, absolutely not. So how amazing to have come full circle to now be showing up vulnerable, completely authentic, don't give a fuck about what everyone else thinks. You know, it's amazing to hear your journey, and it's going to be inspiring for so many people. Yeah, every time I hear your journey, you know, I'm always inspired. So it's amazing. I love how you show up. And I think what just came to me is, you know, it's on, especially on social media, where it's all airbrushed and, you know, people showing up with their best lives and not actually showing the full story. You know, it's great to see you showing the full, all the sides of everything, the sides of yourself and being you. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's important. It's important to me anyway. And, you know, there are so many things that we can do to help manage anxiety, to help manage these feelings, like certain supplements, like lion's mane, ashwagandha. I can never say it. See what I mean? You know what I mean? Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha. Yeah, it is a funny one. Yeah,
it's a very funny word. Anyway, that's really good. And magnesium as well. Three things that you can take. Breath work. Breathe. Breath work is such an amazing thing. And energy healing. Well, you're an energy healer as well, and you know how much it helps. Meditation for those. But thing is though, like, for lots of anxious overthinkers, meditation's not really the one, because it actually, and if you're in the early stages of trying to heal some trauma, actually sitting still in meditation isn't good for you.
Not for everyone,
so
is it?
No. Because it can be very triggering to sit still like that. So that's why I have all these tools, is that because you can come to like a somatic therapy session with me, and it's like, well, you know, it's a bit of NLP, a bit of talking, it's movement, sound therapy and breath work to get that real emotional release. And rather than painfully going over and over, re-traumatizing yourself constantly, which is what happens, because our mind remembers, so that memory creates the same feeling as the trigger for the trauma or the anxiety. So it's kind of bypassing that. bypassing the conscious mind and going straight into the body and then into our accessing our superconscious.
Well, I could sit and talk to you about this all day long. It's been absolutely amazing. But before we go, there's two things I'm going to ask you. One is to tell us how we can find you, how we can work with you, what you're offering, and then if there's any words of wisdom that you would like to leave the audience with today.
Okay, so to work with me, you can find me, you can find like free content on my podcast, That Inner Voice. It's on all major platforms. You can follow my reels and my TikToks on Insta and TikTok. And so that's where I offer like free content. On my website, there's a load of stuff to download as well. And if you want to work closely with me one-to-one, which I do highly suggest. You know, it's a journey. One-to-one's good because, you know, you can really get digging deep into those traumas. So I have a course called Inner Peace Expansion, and it is I would say it's a journey of self-discovery and really blossoming into yourself and owning your place in the world and creating lots of peace, lots of freedom, and actually going on to live rather than just survive. So that's what the Inner Peace Expansion course is all about. And I also have Anxious to Awesome, Awaken to Your True Potential. And this is really like for people that want to maybe start a business, they want to excel in their career. So it's for professional and personal development. So it's people who are feeling really anxious, suffering with low confidence, low self-esteem. And it's the deep inner work to get you set up, started for business or to excel in your career.
Both sound absolutely amazing. I'm going to put your links in the show comments so that people can come and find you. So I'll pop that in afterwards when you finish. So do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with today?
My words of wisdom would be, fuck everything else.
Yeah.
Really work on yourself.
Yes.
Because that relationship, I can't tell you how good it feels to get to know yourself, to accept yourself, to love yourself, to let go of those painful narratives and grab life by the balls and live it.
Amen to that, sister. I love those words of wisdom. I'll have to write them down. That's brilliant. That's awesome. Thank you so, so much. It's been such a pleasure catching up with you and chatting today. It always is. I will continue to follow you and see where your journey goes next. But thank you so, so much. It's been so fun.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We got there in the end, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got there. And a big thank you to the audience and everyone who's listened to this podcast. I will be back again with one again in the future at some point, my disorganized podcast. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.